Thank you, Colleen, and good morning and welcome, everyone. Happy Easter. Thank you for joining us for our hymn sing portion of our service. And I think we have, Dale, can you turn this down just a bit? It's just a little too hot. Thank you. I heard 361 as our first request, 361. And we're going to do the first and last verses of 361. Rock of Ages, 361. Verse 4.
While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me.
Our next one, Gary? 261, Lord of the Dance, 261, and we'll sing verses 4 and 5 for Easter Sunday, 4 and 5 of 261. Yes. Did I hear 526? 526. 526. And how about verses 1 and 3? Verses 1 and 3. 526.
Do not carry everything
I think we have time for one more. Yes. 228. And did I hear verses 1 and 2 of verses 228? Of Psalm 228. Sorry, I'm getting there. He is born, 228. And we'll sing verses 1 and 2. Thank you everyone for joining us, and we will continue with our Easter service. Thank you.
Thank you, Colleen. That was beautiful, as usual. Welcome, everyone, to the House of Faith, the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa. We're glad to see all of you here on this cold and dreary yet beautiful Easter morning. It's good that you all braved the storm to come out today. If we have any guests or first-time visitors, we certainly extend a warm welcome to you, and we hope that you'll be inspired by our service. I'd like to remind everyone to please sign in on the red pad at the end of your pew so that we can register your attendance here today. And there are also blue cards in the pews in case you have a special prayer request that you would like to submit to our prayer team. There will be an Easter egg hunt inside the fellowship hall, inside, since it's raining outside. Inside at 11 o'clock for the children with coffee, tea, conversation, and other refreshments. Is that accurate, Deb? It's inside? Okay. The fellowship hall is across the breezeway. Everyone, please join us for coffee and fellowship and snacks after the service and an Easter egg hunt. Happy birthday to all of our March people. This is the last day of March so that we can extend our congratulations to all of the March birthday people listed on the screen here. I'm not going to read them all, but we'll turn the page tomorrow to April, and then we'll have April birthdays. We are the Cereal Church. If you'd like to donate a few boxes of cereal, canned goods, or other non-perishable food items at any time to help out, we will bring those at the end of the month to the ICSC so that they can distribute them to families in need. So your donations are always welcome. You can just leave them in the narthex there on the bench. Stephen Mickle is looking for gently used casual adult clothing for inmates that are being released from prison. He will be happy to take slippers, flip-flops, sneakers, t-shirts, or casual shirts, pants, or jeans, put them in the narthex, and Stephen will collect them there. I'm sure there'll be more to come. Hearts Grow. The second and fourth Sundays, children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of fellowship time. Parents are welcome as well. A fun Christian growth and worship experience for all ages using the arts to connect us to our Creator. This will be held in the children's church room. We have a free movie coming this Saturday on April the 6th at 11 a.m., entitled Once I Was a Beehive, and it's a story of a young gal after losing her father to cancer. A teenage girl reluctantly joins her new step cousin at a summer camp for Latter-day Saint girls. It's a rich comedy with deep relationships and faith. This will be shown in our Faith Theater number 2 on Saturday at 11 a.m. Everyone is welcome to come. And they usually have some wonderful snacks, too. Next. Are there any other announcements? If not, then please rise as you are able and join me in the call to worship. Rejoice, heavenly power. Sing, choirs of angels. Exult, all creation around God's throne.
Jesus Christ, our King, is risen.
Sound the trumpet of salvation. Rejoice, O Holy Church. Exult in glory. The risen Savior shines upon you.
Let this place resound with joy,
echoing the mighty song of all God's people. And now our first hymn is number 320, Christ the Lord is Risen Today, verses 1 through 3. Please join in passing the peace with your neighbors.
We can go on forever. You know, for following Sundays, I would recommend you to bring lunch, right? So that we can have a long passing of peace and have chat and have lunch and have a long worship. Well, we'll have a buffet lunch right here in the aisle. How about that? Welcome, welcome. I'd like to recognize all our faithful worshipers here in the sanctuary. Welcome all. Happy Easter to you and all those who have come to join us via Zoom. Happy Easter to you, Helen. So good to see you. Happy Easter to June and Joyce. And happy Easter to you, Edna and Austin. I don't know where you are. And I know you are celebrating your wedding anniversary, so happy anniversary to you. And happy Easter, Alicia, and happy Easter to Carol and Mike.
And I just want to say to Edna and Austin, you're in Niagara Falls. That's where Paul and I got married, and our wedding anniversary, our 25th wedding anniversary, is Tuesday. So celebrate for us and say hi to the Falls.
That works.
Well, I finally got a more upbeat report. We went down to the place in the desert this past weekend. We weren't here because we're celebrating our anniversary, which is last Tuesday on the 26th.
All right.
And we just wanted to do something different. So instead of coming home on Wednesday like we usually do, we drove over to Laughlin and stayed a couple of nights there. We're not gamblers, but we just wanted to get away and do something different. And of course, I had to take her to Oatman, where they got the burros that come right into the stores and everything, and that made her day. Getting back to her treatment, I think I told you that UCLA had advised her to find an oncologist. Because the cancer is going to come back. They don't know when, but they do know it will either attack her liver, kidneys, or lungs. So, hallelujah, she put in a call and she's already got an appointment for a week from tomorrow, April the 8th, we see the oncologist. Now, our next door neighbors at the desert are from Canada. In fact, they just left this weekend to go home. They won't be back until fall. She is the head of the nurses union for the whole entire country of Canada. And we were talking to her about her treatments, and she says that's wonderful that they did that because they have, I know this isn't the correct terminology, but they have the DNA of what her returning cancer is. So they can set up the chemotherapy that she's going to get to exactly match that. And they can give her low doses. She'll probably go in every 30 or 60 days and get an injection. And it will knock it out before it gets a chance to start. So hallelujah. Yeah, it's. Thank you, everybody, and keep the prayers coming.
Thanks.
Yeah, I have a good friend who has recently started having what's called focal seizures, where you just kind of blank out for 30 seconds, and she's having testing this week. Her name is Cherie, so I want to pray for her.
I have two requests for prayer. My brother-in-law, Tom Gray, who lives in Northern Virginia, has his entire spine basically is fused. And he is scheduled for his third epidural, which is supposed to give him a little bit of movement. He has great pain and moves with great difficulty. And in the meantime, he's also had to have a root canal. And I would also ask for prayers for a dear friend where I live who has just this week been diagnosed with leukemia. His name is Ken.
While Deb is walking back, I'd like to thank Susan who helped to decorate the beautiful cross, and she even volunteered to take pictures of you next to the cross. We are going to bring the cross out after the worship and place it either in the narthex or out in the breezeway so you can take some more pictures there. And thank you, Paul and Rachel. They hid eggs in the fellowship hall, and we'll find out how good they are.
And I would like to welcome Tim and Faith and their son, and you can say hello while he is looking for Easter eggs.
Hello, hello. Yes. Welcome, welcome.
Well, I have a joy and a prayer request. My joy is my daughter is moved into her new house in Colorado Springs. It's been a long project. There's still lots to do. Basements can be challenging. So she's got quite a bit of work ahead of her, but she's actually in the house, which is a blessing. It's been a work in progress. And I have a joy. I met with a young lady at school this past week, and she has a 26-year-old sister who has a 2-year-old and a 2-month-old. She's just been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. It's in her bones, so osteosarcoma, I think, is what it is. And the whole family is trying to rally around them to support this young mother and her two little ones. So if you could keep Vanessa and Katrina in your prayers, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
I don't like to be political, but yesterday the President of the United States declared today, Easter Sunday, Transgender Day of Visibility because of all the wonderful things that transgender people have done. And I have to say, I can't believe he picked Easter Sunday to do this on. It's highly offensive to me, and it's a big concern.
Thank you.
Anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand and unmute.
And if there are no further joys and concerns, please join me in the unison prayer. O Lord, your wondrous birth means nothing unless we are born again. Your death and sacrifice means nothing unless we die to sin. Your resurrection means nothing if you be risen alone. Raise and exalt us, O Savior, both now to the state of grace and hereafter to the state of glory, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence. We have a lot to pray for, as usual. Let us remember all our loved ones in our prayers and lift them up with their need. Let us pray for our people that we know in our life circle, people near and far, for our churches, for our communities, for this country, and for the world. Dear Lord Jesus, as you have spoken, in this world we have trouble. We have experienced troubles before. We see troubles again today. And we know that troubles in our life is part of our reality. And often, O Lord, as we deal with various challenges of life, we feel so small and problems become so big. And we wonder about if we can overcome and if we can continue. But, O Lord, you are an awesome God. You have shown your love, your grace. You have shown your presence in our lives over and over and over. And we see you. We can feel you. And we can reach out to you because you rose again from the dead and you still live today in the midst of our troubles. So thank you, Lord, for this assurance of your presence in our lives. And as we come before your presence with all the troubles behind us, we know that you are working on our behalf and you are taking good care of us. And with you in our life, everything will be just fine. We just have to hold on to you. No matter what, no matter how discouraging this life is, no matter how problems seem so huge to us, with you, O Lord, we have overcome them all, and with you, we will continue to do so and be victorious in the end. So thank you, Lord, for this wonderful celebration of your resurrection today. Our hearts are completely open to your Holy Spirit, and we ask you to come in and empower us once more and give us this assurance of your presence once more, which can drive out all our doubts and all our worries and all our fears. So we ask you to touch us once more with your living presence. We acknowledge that our life is 100% under your control, for you are with us. You are our sovereign God. And to you, O Lord, once more, we yield and ask you to continue to fulfill your perfect and wonderful will in our lives, in this church, in this community, in this nation, and the world today. So now we join our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now it's time for Young at Heart with Deb Davidson.
Today's story is Jesus is Risen, a pop-up book written by Agostino Irani. It had been 3 days since Jesus died on a cross, and his friends were sad. They missed him. That morning, two women brought spices to the place where Jesus was buried, but the stone in front of the tomb was rolled away. Inside, a man dressed in dazzling white clothes greeted them. "Where was Jesus?" "Do not be afraid," the angel said. "You are looking for Jesus, but he has risen and is no longer here." The angel pointed to the place where Jesus had been laid. "Look for yourselves," the angel said. "Now go and tell the other disciples." The women were amazed by what the angel had told them. They ran as fast as they could to find the disciples. Suddenly, a man appeared. It was Jesus. "Greetings, my friends," he said. "Teacher," the women were amazed. Jesus was alive, standing in front of them. The disciples were hiding inside a locked room, scared and uncertain. Jesus appeared among them and said, "Peace be with you." At first, the disciples thought they were seeing a ghost, but Jesus assured them it was him. "Come, touch my hands, hear my voice, see that this is your friend." Jesus appeared again as Peter and some of the disciples were out fishing. At first, they didn't recognize him, but as the other disciples were pulling up the heavy net full of fish, Peter realized it was Jesus and he jumped into the water. Once they were on shore, they all had breakfast. Fish, of course. Jesus took the disciples to a mountaintop. He told them, "Go and tell this story to everyone you meet. Baptize them, teach them, and remember, I am always with you." Then Jesus rose up into the air and ascended to heaven. A few days later, the disciples were all together. Suddenly, there came a rushing wind. It filled the entire house. Little tongues of fire appeared over each person's head, and all the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began speaking in different languages, languages they'd never spoken before, all of them talking about God together. Now they were ready to go to the whole world and tell them the good news about Jesus. The end. But it's not the end. I'm going to read Acts 2, 44 through 47, which is a passage that tells how the early Christians lived after the Holy Spirit came among them. "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Now pretend you're back in school. Here are two discussion questions for your consideration. 1. Compare and contrast the early Christian way of life to our lives today.
And now it's time for our next hymn, which is In the Garden, number 314, verses 1 through 3.
And talks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his song, and the dawn we share
Scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks
be to God.
Warm welcome to each and every one of you. So good to see you on this beautiful Easter morning. It's raining out there, and to me, it's the sign of God's blessing. So we all celebrate the Easter together. I pray that the Lord will speak to each and every one of you and touch your heart and spirit this morning. Arimathea Joseph went to Pilate and asked permission to bury Jesus. His request dumbfounded Pilate. Not many Jews would bother taking care of a corpse, not just a corpse, a criminal corpse. So Pilate wanted a little background check on Joseph and asked who he was. Joseph answered, "I am a member of the Jewish council and a merchant." Hearing his answer, Pilate had a puzzled look on his face and said, "I don't get it. You, a member of Jewish council, would not mind touching a corpse of a criminal and burying it on Passover, the most holy Jewish day of the year?" Now, where are you going to bury it? Joseph answered, in my tomb. Pilate almost had a heart attack, for no one has ever volunteered to bury a criminal in his own tomb. So Pilate became more curious and continued, where is your tomb? Oh, close by. I hewed a rock out and made a nice chamber for my burial. Joseph answered. Pilate could not hold his poise anymore and blurted out, you are out of your mind. You spend so much money on your tomb at the most desired spot in Israel and are giving it away to a criminal. Joseph had a big smile on his face and said, you don't know the trend in Jerusalem these days. It's Airbnb. He's going to be there just for the weekend. Bruce gave me that idea. Did the Arimathea Joseph know that Jesus would be in the tomb for only 3 days? The horrible crucifixion of the Romans did not leave any chance of survival and revival for Jesus. Joseph was a secret disciple, and burying Jesus in his own tomb was the last thing he could do for Jesus. Jesus was gone forever, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Joseph was not alone. Even the most committed followers of Jesus never expected Jesus' resurrection. Who were the most committed followers of Jesus? I would say that those who stayed near the cross on Passover and those who came to the tomb on Easter morning. There were a few well-known leaders like Peter and John. Their presence in those critical moments was rather anticipated. Some people like Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the younger and of Joseph, and Joseph Arimathea remained anonymous all throughout the Gospels, but suddenly appeared on Passover and Easter morning. Their presence at those most critical moments qualified them as the most faithful and true followers. Sadly, they did not expect to meet the risen Christ on Easter morning. A popular belief sees nothing wrong with their stand on resurrection. Everyone dies and remains dead. But their faith had a problem. They did not entirely believe in Jesus' word. Jesus predicted his death and resurrection 3 times. The first instance was right after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The second time was after the transfiguration. The third time was when Jesus was coming to Jerusalem a few weeks ago. I mean, think about those moments. All of them, Jesus openly and publicly disclosed his identity. There's nothing hidden in who he was and why he came. In Matthew 21, Jesus said, we are going up to Jerusalem, and Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They'll condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. So Jesus talked about his crucifixion, but also at the same time, resurrection. From the confession of Peter and on, Jesus openly spoke about who he was and why he came. I am certain that his death and resurrection were shared among a large circle of Jesus' followers who eyewitnessed many miracles, including Jesus raising the daughter of Jairus and Lazarus after they died. John 14:29 says, the reason that Jesus predicted the future events. I have told you now before it happened, so that when it does happen, you will believe. The resurrection, therefore, was not supposed to surprise them, but it did, because they did not believe it. Why did they not believe in resurrection? Their mind was governed by the natural laws of cause and effect and the rule of physics and science. 2,000 years later, the same ways of reasoning still dominate people's mind, and resurrection is still in question. It is where our faith and secular world collide. The resurrection is one of the groundwork of Christianity, but it is not easily understandable for those outside the faith. Well, a more accurate statement is, it used to be incomprehensible. Now, thanks to the advancement of medicine, life after death has become a systematic and quantitative field of research. The cases of those who experience NDE, that is, near-death experiences, are staggering, and medical professionals have taken notice of it seriously. When I Google searched near-death experience yesterday, it generated 1,820,000,000 results. 80 million more results than a week ago. And the increase might be related to Easter. This colossal number reflects people's opinions, interests, and also medically relevant papers. The first page of the Google search posts a web belonging to the National Library of Medicine and the National Center for Biotechnology Information. Under the title of Near-Death Experiences, the article says, Dr. Nelson explores near-death experiences through the lens of science and discovers that near-death fits within the conventional neuroscience framework as securely as the germ theory of disease and evolution. Stand in other branches of science. It basically said that NDE meets all the conditions to be a scientific study. Google generated 745 million results on near-death experience research yesterday, increased from 561 million results a week ago. The top of the first page posts the web of the University of Virginia School of Medicine, which says near-death experiences are intensely vivid and often life-transforming experiences, many of which occur under extreme physiological conditions such as trauma, ceasing of brain activity, deep general anesthesia, and cardiac arrest, in which no awareness or sensory experiences should be possible, according to the prevailing views in neuroscience. People used to think that when the heart stops and the brain is dead, everything ends. No life, no activities after that, in any form whatsoever. But now, the medical science says people experience a vivid life after death. The university webpage lists typical features of NDE, such as sensation of leaving the body, mind functioning more clearly and rapidly than usual. I mean, can you believe it? The brain works more than usual. Mind works more than usual. Sensation of being withdrawn into a tunnel of darkness. Brilliant light, sometimes at the end of the tunnel. Sense of peace, well-being, or unconditional love. Sense of having access to unlimited knowledge. Live review or recall of important event in the past, preview of future events yet to come, encounters with diseased loved ones, or other beings generally identified as religious figures. Here the religious figures are angels and God, but they would not openly describe them as such. Business Insider posts an article about Dr. Jeffrey Long, a radiation oncologist in Kentucky. During research, he found a large volume of the Journal of the American Medical Association describing NDEs. I mean, you know, the American Medical Association is huge in the United States. Medical training told Dr. Long, you are either alive or dead. There is no in between. But a cardiologist described that patient had died and then came back to life. After studying more than 5,000 NDEs, Dr. Long's research convinced him, without a doubt, that there is life after death. Dr. Evan Alexander is a highly trained, renowned neurosurgeon who had operated on thousands of brains in the course of his career. He used to think that heaven, God, and soul are products of brain chemistry. But while in deep coma, for 7 days, he journeyed beyond this world and encountered an angel and God. After miraculous recovery, he wrote Proof of Heaven. Google produces 419 million results on near-death experience stories from 2023. I mean, just 1 year, that many, over 400 million stories of NDE. Medical doctor John C. Hagen III says, it is estimated that more than 10 million people in the United States have experienced NDE. What does these figures, researches, and statements of medical professionals say to us? So many real cases today prove life after death, thanks to the advancement of medicine. But they are not exactly new. People met the risen Christ from Easter morning until he ascended into heaven for 40 days. The Gospels record at least 8 appearances of the risen Christ. Jesus met Mary Magdalene at the tomb on Easter morning, which we just read. Jesus appeared to the disciples on Easter evening. Jesus walked with the 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus met the disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. According to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom were still alive when Paul wrote the letter in Ephesus in 53 AD. 2 witnesses sufficiently meet the condition of proof required for a perjury conviction in the United States. The resurrection is proven true 100-fold, even in the United States court system. And no one with a sound mind can dismiss the staggering number of people who experience life after death today. But the resurrection is still in question in the hearts of many. Not because life after death is not real, but because people are ignorant of the science of resurrection and choose not to believe. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection is real and therefore makes perfect sense. He says, if there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body, like common sense. If there is no resurrection, then Jesus did not rise from the dead. If there is no resurrection for Christ, everything in the Bible is smoke and mirrors, and everything we've staked our life on is smoke and mirrors. We testify that God raised Jesus, but if Jesus did not rise again, we are lying about God. The foundation of our faith and hope lies in believing in life after that. If for this life only we have hope in Jesus, we are of all men most to be pitied. Whatever the world may say, stand your ground. Resurrection is real. Jesus rose again from the dead and lives in our lives today. Amen.
Now it's time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. There's a collection plate out in the narthex where you can drop off your donations, or you can send them in to the church office. And at this time, our chancel choir will present the Easter celebration medley. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen.
He has risen indeed.
The Lord has risen.
He has risen indeed.
The Lord has risen.
He has risen indeed.
O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death is swallowed up in victory.
Christ has risen indeed.
Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ, we give you this offering of thanksgiving as we recognize that you are our crucified Redeemer, that you are the risen Christ, that you will come again to this earth once more. We give you this thanksgiving for the forgiveness of sins we have received, and for the promise of everlasting life in your kingdom. So bless this offering, O Lord, that it may be used to preach this good news of Jesus, that you are Jesus, our King. In Jesus' name, amen.
And our final hymn this morning is number 310, He Lives, verses 1 through 3.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know whatever foes may say, I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to you brought. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care, and though my heart I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to you part. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Go home, please remember to take the lilies. You may want to bring it to some of the people that you like to give as well. And Dale, if you don't mind, we'll bring the cross out as I process back there again and then place it there. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for this wonderful celebration of your rising from the dead once more. Our heart is filled with joy of your presence, the joy of salvation, and may our life be the continuation of this joy of your resurrection. So, Lord Jesus, send us forth in joy and peace of this Easter. In Jesus' name, amen.